Welcome to We the People wow. Radio. That was not Eric Swalwell. He is not in studio with us. Oh.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah. We have a serious topic, though, so.
Yes, we do.
Oh, we better start it off with a little fun. Yeah, otherwise, people
just get it out of your system right
freak
now.
Out. All right. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
I can at least get that out without laughing.
Yeah.
Most days, other than there's the other days.
And our sponsor this hour.
Do that, Bill.
Is Pape Machinery. Pape Machinery is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in beautiful downtown Shasta Lake. Pape is right now in the process of becoming one of the largest steel dealers in the Reading area. Inventory has arrived. They're getting it up on the shelves right now. So if you're getting ready for spring, need a new chainsaw or hedge trimmer or weed eater or whatever it might be, come in and see them. They'll have some good deals going. Also, they'll have quite a few parts on hand. If you own a steel product right now, they might be able to fix you up parts-wise. So if you're looking for a tractor or a lawn tractor or implements or whatever, they stock it all there in the John Deere line. Their phone number is 226-9226, or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
How do you spell that, Bill?
That's P-A-P-E.
Machinery.
Machinery.
They can just look up machinery, because that's not tricky.
Yeah, and it's not Pepe, and it's not Pepe or whatever. It's Pape.
Because there's accent over the E, but there you don't have accent. To do that in the spelling.
No, you don't have to do that.
It's just tricky. Yeah. Since I think Robert puts that on online. So I guess I should say something about that.
Yeah.
Actually, it's kind of fun. We used to broadcast in Philadelphia and the Jersey Shore a long time ago with our friend Rick Trader, and he has taken up a project on television. I'm looking it up swiftly as I'm saying this. If only my computer were as swiftly as my mouth.
Wow, that's
Microsoft's like, let's call her. Yeah, we want to. Yeah, no, we don't. Okay, so it's the American Uncensored News Network. I know it's AUN, but I always forget what the things are. American Uncensored News Network. And actually, we do have a link to that on the front page of the website at wethepeopleradio.us. And we'll be posting YouTube links, actually, of the show if you would like to look at the pratfalls. We're trying to keep those to a minimum. Ashley's in the Ashley's in there going, yes, I'm like I'm watching you.
Well, she's not banging her head on the desk yet. So.
No, not yet. And she is in a soundproof room, so even if she goes completely berserk, we'll never know. She'll just be she's like what's his name, the mime, you know. All I could think of is Inspector Clouseau, but that's the wrong Frenchman.
That's not it.
I think it's Marcel Marceau. Oh,
it's not my dog.
It's not my dog. Yes, you have lessons for the Mankey? Actually, okay, so. Da, 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 da.
Who's our guest today?
To the serious stuff, because this is serious stuff, actually. So our guest, we have two guests today. We have June is on with us. We have not had her on since 2018, like in the fall. I could have sworn it was more recent than that.
Last year.
No, we've been doing a lot of programs on China, and I have to say, a little program note here, the only tracking I can do on listenership is the listenership actually on our site, on the wethepeopleradio.us site. And
yeah,
I could,
we're not signed up with Armatron or any of those. Yeah. That
I think they make watches. Is that what it is? No. Anyway,
no.
Whatever the thing's called. Anyway, we don't have that. So, but I can track what's going on our website. And I have to say, over the last week, I posted the show early, the topic and all that. In the last week, 44% of the people tapping our site are out of Singapore,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of interesting. They overtook the U.S.
The Ukraine.
Yeah, and they overtook the Ukrainians. Ukrainians, yeah. You got to duke it out with the – are they Singaporeans? Sounds kind of weird. Singapore Eye?
I think they're Chinese.
I don't know, you guys. You better email me. Don't hack in. Just send me a straight email.
You can go.
I just want a regular email.
Yeah, regular pathway, please.
Yeah, I don't want it to show up in my bank account or anything weird like that.
The Chinese hacking is getting a little old.
It is. We've done lots of shows on that. So there is a tab at the top of the page labeled China, which makes it pretty straightforward, and you can find all the shows we have done on that. Oh, it is Singaporean. Our engineer, in her handy Googleness in there, has done that for us. So anyway, it's important. There's a lot going on. We're being really not told much of anything. You get the same kind of dopey little talking points, and you think, well, okay, we know it's very closed as far as the information that comes out of China. So are they telling us the truth? Are they lying? I mean, you know, really, where are we headed? So we thought we would have June come on. She is a former member of the Chinese Communist Party, so she would actually know some things about that.
Emphasis on former.
Yes, former.
Yes.
And I've met her in real life. She's very nice lady. She shares her journey often. She does a lot of public speaking, and she shares her journey from indoctrination by the Chinese government to an unvarnished understanding of American freedom and liberty. And that's very, very clear. First, she was the one who got us started on this, mm-hmm. this topic of China, because I thought, we don't know anything about this.
Nope.
We've got to learn a lot more. And then she hooked us up with all her friends here. I've got her bio on there, and today kind of her topics in this first hour will be the humanitarian crisis that's sweeping China, the long arm of China through the World Health Organization and media influence, and how that affects us in the U.S. and honestly everywhere else. I mean, everybody's affected by this stuff. And a wake-up call to the global economy and pharmaceutical industry and the likelihood of coronavirus becoming a seasonal pandemic. And then in the second hour, we will be joined by Dr. Wen Chen. We've had two Dr. Chens on. This is Dr. Chen number one, actually, in our program listing. And we've done shows with her, too, and I would encourage you to go and research those. All of our archives are free for your access online, and they have no commercial breaks in them. So it's easy, and your MP3 files, you can download them. We don't care what you do with them. If you want to burn them on CDs and give them to your friends or sell them at a fundraiser or put them on little flash drives, you can do whatever you want with them. We do this show to provide information to the public and to give you guys an avenue to get that out to people who wouldn't normally get this information.
If you do decide to do that, I do take donations. Don't forget Bill.
You're going to get dinner.
Oh, okay.
We pay Bill in dinner that he has to cook for himself. I might add. It's quite a gulag we're running.
Yeah.
But anyway, just, you know, a lot of times people are worried about copyright infringement, and they're we're gonna search the web and find out you posted our link somewhere. We totally don't care, and we're not searching the web to find out. So there you have it. That's all the program notes for today.
There you are.
And I'm guessing we have June on the line. So June, here we've got a couple of minutes here before that first break. Maybe you could kind of let people know what we're. I mean, I kind of gave them your talking points, but that's the end of my information.
Hey, great to be on a show again. Has it been that long? I cannot believe I first got on your show.
I looked because I went back on, I was going to swipe your bio, you know, when I made the page for today. And I went back and I looked, I thought, are you kidding me?
I know, it seems like it was just like last summer or something.
We've done a whole bunch of shows on China. Yeah, it was November of 2018.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Lots happened since then, and we've learned a lot.
Absolutely. And then thank you for doing this. And, yeah, so coronavirus, I think it's near and dear to everyone's heart right now these days. So I'm very glad that your readership has the interest in this and give us the kind of the avenue to talk about it. So I've been following the news for a long time, ever since the first outbreak and ever since we came to know that the whistleblower doctor in China was arrested. And now part of it was because I can read Chinese and I like to go to those independent social media posts that written in Chinese to kind of understand what's going on. And every day I listen to three different independent commentators, you know, to understand the updates, the latest and greatest from China about the coronavirus. And then so to this day, I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I would definitely say I stay on top of everything that's about coronavirus in China. And so I'm glad that we can talk about it today.
Your expertise, though, is really in, where that meets the interest of the public is that, well, A, you can read Chinese, so you get to see what's going on firsthand. But the other part of it that's really something that we don't know anything about here in the U.S., people talk about censorship and they talk about all that, but we haven't got a clue. We haven't got a clue
right.
What real censorship is all about. So you can kind of read between the lines and know what's propaganda from the government. And we don't know that. When they tell us, oh, we only have, you know, 8 or 9 people that are sick, and, you know, the people in China, all of a sudden you get these videos and there's body bags all over the place. Like, oh.
And then they update the numbers.
I think somebody's lying. Let's take a really quick break. We'll come back and then we won't interrupt you. We'll give you a good long run at it. You'll have like 15 minutes. So
sounds great.
Get a glass of water. We'll come right back. You are listening to We the People. Please join us online at We the People Radio. A little Carly Simon for you.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body.
A little Pat Benatar. We were going to come up back with Bad Medicine. I was like, that doesn't sound like Bad Medicine. That sounds like Pat Benatar.
That's not Pat Benatar.
All right. So, June, when you're reading all of this, all these publications, what jumps out at you?
Well, there are a few things.
Yeah, where to start, huh?
Well, the first is, I mean, it's very obvious, it's cover-up after cover-up. And then when I talk about my personal journey, I share with everyone, you know, I think the characteristics of the Communist Party is twofold, brutality and the deceit. So through this, how the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, handles the coronavirus, I see so many classic examples of how it does cover up. But the other thing is that this, which is really I want to spend a little bit of time on today, is to talk about the humanitarian crisis that's happening in China today. Because there's so many heartbreaking stories that I've read and I've heard, you know, and it's happening in China every day, every hour, and every minute. So what we normally think is an original, you know, an outbreak of a virus has quickly turned into a tragedy for, I would say, billions of the people living there. And especially for those 11 million living in Wuhan City, which is the epicenter of the outbreak. Now, many of us kind of heard about the lockdown in Wuhan and in many other adjacent areas. About the Chinese New Year, kind of on the first day of the Chinese New Year here in the United States. Well, I was really surprised because that was unprecedented. And later I learned about 300,000 people just managed to escape. To flee before the lockdown in Wuhan, just a few hours before that. And it was kind of interesting to see that some used, you know, the fever medication to lower their body temperature so that they could pass those detection tests. And others had to make tough choices between life and their loved ones. There was a shocking video that went out, that going viral on the internet. You know, a couple, they tried to take their two sick kids on the plane. And they were stopped by the security at the airport, and they argued for hours. Not only they caused delay of the flight, but eventually they realized that they couldn't go with their kids. So they decided to abandon their kids, left them at the airport with the security people, and they decided to board a plane by themselves without a kid. And it was very shocking to me.
Wow.
But it's happening. It's happening every day because I think in face of the crisis, it really it's a test to many people's true colors, between life and their loved ones, what do they pick? And so you might think that those lucky 300,000 people that, you know, escaped the Wuhan lockdown, they probably are better off, but not so. No hotels or gas stations or hospitals are allowed to serve them. If you have a Wuhan ID, your ID, you know, with your Wuhan, whatever the city or the origin, or you have a Wuhan license plate, then you will be denied your service from those hotels, gas stations, or hospitals.
So what are they supposed to do? Just stay in their house and
starve to death?
Eat crackers?
No, these are the people that already outside of Wuhan. What a government wants to do is really to encourage people to report on them, to take them back to where they came from. So they say that no hospital. This is why if you're sick and you need immediate medical assistance, and the hospital will tell you that, I'm sorry, you have to go back to where you came from. And again, the local people will be mobilized to report on them. And there's a sad story that just on the Chinese New Year's Eve, this person is who escaped from the lockdown, and he was in another city, and he was reported by someone to the police. And he was furious. He was so outraged that he killed that informer just on the Lunar Chinese, the New Year's Eve, because,
wow,
you know, it's supposed to be a celebration with all your family and friends. It's supposed to be a great time to get together. And then he was so upset that the person reported on him, and therefore he had to face the possibility of sending back to Wuhan. And so, and then this time I really care about what's going on in Wuhan, because I have my aunt and her families, her two daughters and their families, living in Wuhan. And I wasn't able to get hold of them even once. I tried to call them many times.
Are you still unable to get a hold of them?
No, I can't. Now there's a rumor that they have already implemented the partial cutoff of the internet in Wuhan. And they say the entire city, they will bring down the internet in the entire city starting March 1st. And so my heart really goes out to all those unfortunate 99% of the people who cannot escape before the lockdown and then are stuck in Wuhan. And let me just share with you a little bit about their life there. And this is what I learned from the social media, those posts and those videos. Many of those are from those independent, the bloggers or the so-called self-made journalists. And I feel like people there are so fed up, and they would do whatever it takes to let the news out. And so I'm grateful for getting that information and being the messenger and then kind of broadcast that to the people living here in the Western world to let them know what's going on. So, for instance, the hospitals would turn away the patients because every hospital is running at a full capacity. So many died even before they were diagnosed, and because the hospital couldn't do any testing on them. And so when they died, they died for those they called unknown reason. And then so their death is not recorded as part of this. Yes. And this is part of the reason why the number is so low today. Now, there are many other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are videos showing that dead bodies are piled up in those hospital hallways. And then just the doctors and nurses were just so busy, you know, running around and trying to take care of those patients who are still alive. And nobody has the bandwidth to remove those dead bodies. And imagine the infection. Because the virus is still there on their bodies.
Sure.
And then so for those who were turned away by the hospitals, I mean, some of them committed suicide because, you know, the Chinese, they're living in very, you know, the compact spaces. And then if you have, like, more than one room, you're lucky. So how could you not getting your family, your loved ones infected while you are told to do self-quarantine at home? I saw those videos of people jumping off their windows or just doing some other way to end their lives because they just simply do not want to burden their families. And then this also applies to some with the pre-medical conditions, because if they rely on those medical treatments a couple times a week, and then now all the hospitals and then those medical clinics are only catering for the coronavirus patients, then they have nowhere to go to continue their medication or treatment. And then some just decided to, you know, this is too hard for them to endure and decide to end their lives.
So I would think it's safe to say there's probably more people that aren't in the hospital that are infected than are in the hospitals.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
And then people go crazy because the mobility, right? They say, hey, quarantine, we're going to impose this quarantine thing on every family. Now, there's restriction. There has been a mobility restriction ever since the lockdown. It used to be like one person from every household can go out to do grocery shopping once every 3 days. And now, in some areas, they change that completely. They go extreme to no one should be able to go out for the next 10 or 14 days. And then to impose that, to ensure that, you know, people comply to that, some areas, they would even lock or weld those community gates or those entrance, you know, those, you know, people living in those alleys. And then they would actually create a gate, you know, the alley entrance, and they would actually lock from the outside to make sure that no one can go out. Now, how are they gonna survive if they
exactly.
run out of food?
Are the Chinese, because I know, like, those of us who live in rural areas, you know, we're pretty, I don't know, I guess most people are pretty aware that we could have disruption in the supply lines. You know, we have a lot of fire here in the area where we live. So you don't know what's coming down the pipeline. So we tend to have, you know, extra water, extra food, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Do they do that in China? Is that a common?
No.
They don't have room, do they?
Exactly. Not in the metropolitan area, I would say, because they don't have room to stock that.
Their houses
and
are very small.
People, absolutely. And for the common people, many of those rely on public transportation to go to those supermarkets to get food.
Mm-hmm.
And so they couldn't even if they have room in their house, they couldn't even use the right transportation to order that stuff, right? It's a norm that people normally go out every few days to do grocery shopping. Like when my parents lived in China, they would go to the local market like every other day. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, because you can't stockpile, so you have to go frequently.
Absolutely. I would imagine that probably at the beginning of the lockdown, people just flooded those supermarkets and got all the food they could. But again, because of the transportation limit, how much can you buy?
Right. Yeah, I saw pictures of some of the stores over there right at the very beginning, and they were already sold out of food.
Exactly. Yeah, there was not enough supply anyway. And so I'm so afraid that, you know, alongside this coronavirus, you know, killing millions of many people, I wouldn't say millions right now, but there will be a widespread kind of the famine going on. And I think this is completely man-made, right?
Well, when we come back, I'm really curious to know, I mean, also, you know, a lot of people have money put away that's not electronic money. They have physical money put away. They have silver. They have things like that in the event of some sort of disruption. I'm curious if any of those types of preparations are things that people in China are, for one, even able to do or allowed to do. So we'll be right back with our guest, June. We're going to head into the break with Bad Medicine by Bon Jovi. So you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. A little song by Journey that we listened to in high school takes on a whole new meaning in terms of the coronavirus. So, June, people don't have a place to store a bunch of food. They don't have a place to store a lot of water, that kind of thing. But what about even the means to do that? Because people aren't going to work, I'm assuming. So how do they get paid? And then even if there was stuff to buy, how do they do that?
It just looks like the whole system is going to crash by keeping people locked up.
It's going to crash. On one hand, the party really wants to contain the virus. On the other hand, it is so concerned of the economy because it's slipping. Every day that you stop the entire workforce, and then you're just losing so much money. And so it sends out a contradictory kind of instruction. And then just not long ago, it says, hey, it's safe now. I want everyone to go back to work. Well, guess what? There are so many cases that, you know, once they started going to work, first of all, only probably 25% of the companies and the organizations listened to that instruction and resumed to work. But then just a few days after that, people noticed that because there were some people who carried virus and might not have any symptoms, and then when they go back to work with, you know, a group of coworkers, and then they spread a virus to them. So there are so many cases that hundreds of workers have to be locked down in those workplaces because they don't know what to do. They do not want to further contaminate the entire community, but everyone else is so skeptical about, you know, whether is infected or not. So that's the dilemma right now the government is facing. And I want to go back to your original questions about if people have jewelry, if people have a little bit of money, can they get what they want? The answer is probably not. Recently, there was a video posted on the social network, and then it's actually shared in the Facebook as well here by some people. It's about this desperate woman, and she's so brave. In that video, she lives in Wuhan, and she almost yelled in the video, and she said, you know, even if I have money, it's not going to give me anything because we're facing this complete lockdown. And she says, well, the people in Hong Kong, I support you. The people in Tibet, I support you. Whoever, I support whoever wants to overturn this evil system, this evil party, because it's killing every one of us here. But we do not want to be silenced. So, and then the other reason is because Wuhan is facing the complete lockdown, and Wuhan itself is not an agricultural kind of the city, and even it's the province, Hubei, is not an agricultural place. So it relies on those transportation of the supply from other provinces to go into the province and the city. But because of the lockdown, and then no transportation is allowed to go in or out, and therefore there's a real shortage of the supply.
Yeah, that was my next question is
how do you get things in?
Well, the supply chain. I know here in America, grocery stores, big grocery stores, are usually supplied. You know, once a day, trucks come in and unload tons of groceries. Mm-hmm. How is it there? Because if you have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that are out of food and they lift the ban, all those people are going to be heading to the store looking for something to eat. And I would imagine the store shelves are going to be empty for a long time just in restocking or refeeding the people that are starving now. So what's the prognosis there?
That's a very good question. So remember I said some communities imposed a complete lockdown and they locked those gates from outside. Now there are some communities a little bit more humane, and what they do is they allocate your supply every day. They leave those vegetables, whatever, according to how many people in your house, in your family, and then they give you a little pile of the vegetables, and then they ask you to go down there to pick it up, and it's not enough, but it's probably enough for them to survive for a few days. And then for those, I don't know how they manage to get the food in. They probably still partner with some farmers or some companies, but I would say even if they left that the lockdown thing, I don't think they would open all the stores just for the sake of, you know, keeping everyone safe and not spreading the virus. They wouldn't do that. But there are also stores, because this lockdown is not only affecting the people in Wuhan, but also those farmers who, you know, used to rely on selling those food and vegetables. And then so they go bankrupt. Many of those are little farmers. And then there are pictures and videos of those that they have to let those, you know, the vegetables and then food go rotten because there's no way for them to get that into the city. So there are crises going on for both the people suffering inside the city and also for the people, you know, who used to rely on that, the business model. to feed your family.
Yeah, we've run into that here as well. I mean, anytime you interrupt the supply chain, I mean, it's happened here with gas and certain food products. It takes months and months to get it back on track to where there's a steady supply of that product back on the shelves. And I would imagine in a situation like what they have over there, it's going to be even worse.
Right, yeah.
So are people hearing, like I know you haven't been able to hear from your relatives in Wuhan, but is there any communication coming out of there that you have heard about or seen?
Oh, yeah, a lot. That's how I learned what's going on, through those, like, how to self-made journalists or bloggers and post those videos and pictures. And then some of those, unfortunately, mysteriously disappeared, right, because the censorship. I mean, we all know that tragedy of the whistleblower doctor. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. He simply just shared that news within his, his classmates and his peer doctors in that little group. And then he was summoned to the police a few days after that because that post went viral.
Right. He died, didn't he?
He died. He died earlier, early this month.
Was it from the virus?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So they said
he was going to go one way or the other.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And then there was his death now really caused a huge, huge impact. And I remember after his death, there was a wave of anger and grief flooded the Chinese social media site. And the top two trending hashtags were Wuhan government owes this doctor an apology, and we want freedom of speech. So those both hashtags were quickly censored. And then so when the next day when a BBC reporter tried to search that website for those hashtags and those posts, and then there were hundreds of thousands of those on that day, but then the next day they all disappeared. They have all been wiped.
Yeah.
Well, if you were going to send people I'm always like in the back of my head thinking, what are people thinking as they're listening to this? And I guess if I had to pick my top question, it would be, where would you direct people who don't speak Chinese? We should make that, we should clear that one up. So if they're just, Americans and only speak English and you know how limited
right.
we are,
right.
Where would you send them for good information that they can keep track of this and actually be of some help, be informed and be of help?
Ah, well, that's a very good question. I think
I would send them to the Epoch Times. Were you?
The Epoch Times, but I haven't really seen a lot on Epoch Times. The Facebook sometimes would post those, like the brave lady from Wuhan that I said earlier about, there's even money couldn't help to solve our problem, and I support the Tibetans. That video itself isn't Chinese, but someone did a good job of putting the English subtitle at the bottom.
Oh, nice.
And then that went viral on Facebook here because everyone can see it, and then they understand, and so many of them were moved to tears, they said. So I think we need more, we need information from sources like this more.
How about this? If you find some good sources, if you see some good articles or good video or whatever, and you think about it, if you send it to me, I'll continue to post that on the website for today. And I guess I should point out we're airing live on February 23rd, 2020, in case this replays later or you're listening later. So as of February 23rd, if you and Dr. Chen will remind her too when she gets on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys can send me that, it'll update automatically and people can use that as a bit of a resource.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What was the other thing?
The healthcare workers there, I mean, they're the people, at forefront and then dealing with this crisis right now.
Yeah, how are they
really
doing?
I feel for them. Not very good.
That's got to be super scary. It's like, I think I might call in sick today.
You can't.
Before I have to call in sick for real.
Right. They're denied the right to resign or even leave the lockdown zones. And they are on the breaking point because of the lack of medical resources, long working hours, and the fear for their own safety and their families. And let me just share with you, do not ever donate to the Red Cross in China. It is notorious for its corruption.
Oh, good to know.
That recent, yeah, please tell your listeners about
no
that.
No donations to the Red Cross in China, so just in case you thought that was a great idea.
It hoards so many N95 masks. It hoards so many medical supplies. And it only gives out 10% of those to those hospitals in Wuhan. The remaining 90% it sells to those third parties to make a huge profit. So don't ever do that. Because of that, those workers, healthcare workers, they have to wear those masks or those protection gear multiple days. And, you know, first of all, we do not really know how the virus is spread from one person to another.
That's true.
And then second of all, because of the poor equipment, I mean, they cannot even get themselves safe. And then, so many of those probably already carrying virus. And the latest I heard is that China communicates that there are about 5,000 healthcare workers already infected. And that's what they have reported. I do not know the true number, but I know that many of those are suffering. Some of those have already died. There were a few that have of those hospitals, the prominent hospitals, already died because of the virus. So even, you know, if you're the head of the hospital and you died, what does it tell you? Mm-hmm. What does it tell you about equipment, about the facilities, about the resources there to take care of the patients?
Yeah, that no one has any idea.
Yeah, yeah. And then I remember I saw a video captured this was at the beginning of the outbreak, after the lockdown, that I saw the video captured a medical worker screaming and weeping on top of her lungs. She just had enough. I mean, she couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, she was sitting down, like, in a waiting room or something.
Yeah.
I saw that last night.
Yeah, weeping. And then there was this one brave person that was, again, probably a month ago, because it's been that long, 30 days of the lockdown now. But I remember there was another brave one, and then she chose to use social media to send this great warning to the public. And she said, please do not believe what a government says. Take self-protection and prevention. And she said the real situation is far worse. And back then, a month ago, she gave the number. She says about 100,000 people have already been infected in Wuhan.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Well, on that cheerful note, we've got to take a really quick break, but really the censorship is something that cannot be underestimated. So we'll head out to the break with the police. Every breath you take, you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Billy Joel kind of can't sum that one up enough. Need a little honesty. So June, we would be remiss not to tie in some politics with this, because we're at a kind of a, let's see, we'll call it an interesting crossroads, for lack of something more sensible to say. But this whole Bernie Sanders business here in the United States, you know, proposing that we shift our system. There is no such thing as democratic socialism. I mean, it's basically communism is what they're promoting. And
that's a cheap shot.
And I'm working for Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Many mics paid me to say that. So, I mean, as you watch that, as you watch Bernie Sanders, you know, sweep these primaries, that's got to be absolutely frightening for you. I mean, it's frightening for me, and I've never lived in a communist country.
It is frightening for me, but I have to say that knowing Trump, I feel like he could be easily to be defeated if Bernie does become the primary.
I'd like to believe that, too.
It's very entertaining, to be honest with you.
Right now we're enjoying the food fight, but
right,
I mean, the idea that people in this country are so clueless about what it would be like to live in a place where the government controlled everything, while China is literally spinning off its axis with this virus and all the misinformation and the disinformation.
Absolutely. I often tell people that if you really adore socialism and communism and you want a country to move towards this, take a look at China now, how it's handling this outbreak. Because today's China can be tomorrow's America.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding about that. If
mm-hmm.
they take away our guns, if they take away our rights, if we completely rely on the government, that's what's going to happen. You're going to rely on government for everything, even during the crisis like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's never worked. It's always failed. And yeah, we can do it better, and it won't turn out the same. But that's just a lie. It always turns out the same. And there's so many examples of that throughout history, and currently countries that are failing under socialist rule. But it's like Aaron said, it's amazing how many people look at this and go, "Hey, I can wash my student loan out. I can get."
Everything will be free.
Everything will be free. It's going to be so much better.
And we'll get rid of the middleman for our medical insurance, because the government...
And don't forget the billionaires.
Yeah,
no
problem.
It's just not fair that people, invented something or built something and made so much money.
That's right. We should take that away.
Yeah, take that away. There's just so many flaws that it's amazing people can be so clueless.
Right. Well, it's because it's utopia, isn't it? It sounds great.
Oh, yeah.
That was how those people 100 years ago lured those, people who had nothing to follow them, and because all those high-sounding words. And I do want to talk about the WHO, the World Health Organization, because people say, hey, and then it's great that Chinese and you can share this information with us, but, I'm still skeptical because the World Health Organization, isn't that supposed to be, independent? And recently, didn't you see that the director general from the organization praised openly, of China, how it responds to the crisis? So, it's kind of contradictory to what you're telling us today. So what I wanted to do is to give you a little bit history of the WHO, and how it, during the 2003, almost 17 years ago, during the SARS outbreak,
mm-hmm. Oh, right.
Back then, yeah, back then there was a huge concern of the numbers that the Chinese Communist Party reported. So the organization decided to send its own troops to Beijing to conduct its own independent assessment. Now, that unplanned visit completely caused chaos in the local hospitals in Beijing. I heard stories like one hospital scrambled to transfer all the patients to a local hotel because they had money. Or another one who was less, fortunate, had to come up with a creative plan to hire some minivans, so they transport those patients along with the medical staff to those minivans and on day trips. So those minivans had to cruise around the city many times during that day, so that the people from that organization wouldn't be able to see those and wouldn't be able to catch the evidence. And then so later, many staff from the day trip died from the infection. And one person survived, but she had to cope with the horrific side effects of the hormone treatment. Because if you have SARS, then the only way for you to live is to keep having those hormone treatment. And then it has a horrible, horrible side effect. So she's almost handicapped right now, but she's still alive. And that's, that was how the government handled SARS back in 2003. But there was definitely a lesson learned from that. The lesson learned was that the Chinese government felt it was humiliated, and it vowed to influence the WHO after that. So just a long story short, just a few years ago in September 2015, China announced the creation of a $2 billion fund increasing to $12 billion by 2013 to the organization that I chose. So this explained why recently the current director general praised in public, you know, of China's response to the coronavirus crisis. And it also it renews, I think, a long-standing debate about its independence. I know that funds is extremely important to organizations like that, but I also believe that you shouldn't really bow to the influence, to the money in face of a crisis like this, because it affects everyone, not just the billions of Chinese living in the mainland China, but everyone literally across, you know, every continent.
Sure. And, you know, if it's not handled properly, I mean, for goodness sakes, look what happened with the Spanish flu. I mean, that was a horrendous pandemic that swept the globe. And we were not immune to that either. I mean, the U.S. lost a lot of people in that one. Same thing could happen here if they don't do the right thing. And I think a lot of people are worried that what's going on in China is being underreported, and they may not be able to stop it from leaving. Well, they haven't been able to stop it from leaving China, but the rate of spread is pretty frightening.
And yes. that's only as far as we know.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. And then China just admits that the worst hasn't come yet. Internally. This is the word internally. And I just read the news and it says a woman in Wuhan with no symptoms at all has managed to infect five of her relatives. Is this just reaching a new height of the challenge that we're facing
right
today? Because there are still so many unknowns about this virus, which Dr. Chen will actually share her perspective in the second hour about the origin of this virus. It just seems to me that this virus is so smart, and it's just it can oftentimes be spread under the radar.
Sure.
And I know that because of the dispatch of those passengers on Diamond Princess, that cruise, and then some of those already in our country, and I just fear that, you know, before we know it, that will be widely spread.
Yeah, it's just going to explode. I mean, when you can pass it on
and not even know, not even sick.
You know, have symptoms and you're contagious, that's almost impossible to stop the spread. So, and I agree with you. I think the worst is yet to come. I hate to be a naysayer, but it's
too late.
I know I already did yeah, I think it's going to get a lot worse.
Yeah, so I'd like to share with the audience a rule of thumb. When you get some numbers from the Chinese government, the simplest calculation is to multiply that by 10, and that's about
oh,
right.
Is that all?
Wow.
Well,
just 10.
Well, this confirms because not long ago, actually, February 20th, there's a local website called Baixin. It's a leading classified site in China. Now, people, if they want to
hold that thought, June. We're gonna hit the news here in just a second. We're gonna come back with June and her friend Dr. Wen Chen. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us, and here we have the end of the world with REM for you, Bill.
Right on.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio. You can find everything about our program at WeThePeopleRadio.us, and we are airing live on February 23rd, 2020. So my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. Our sponsor is Pape Machinery. Pape Machinery is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They handle everything, tractors and lawn tractors and attachments and service and parts. They do it all up there. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard, just south of Phil's Propeller. And they're now taking on the steel product line. and stop in and see them next week. They should have it all set up by first part of the week. Also, they're a Honda generator dealer, and
never too early to plan for that.
Yeah, plan for a generator. Summer is coming, which sounds kind of weird. Usually it's wintertime you need a generator. But in California, they're going to shut your power off, so get a generator. Go up and talk to the guys up there. We got lots in stock. And give them a call, 226-9226, or you can get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
P-A-P-E.
P-A-P-E, papemachinery.com.
I'm the spelling police.
Yes, you are.
It's me over here being the spelling police.
Yeah, there are some benefits being married to an ex-English teacher.
Get a dog named Hamlet and a lot of help with spelling.
Yes, and pronunciation.
Every now and then you get a free $10 word. Okay. So not to dilly-dally here, we're adding a guest this hour. So we're keeping June from hour one. If you missed that, you can always find our stuff on the archives. So at wethepeopleradio.us, you can get an MP3 file that is commercial-free. It's free to download. We don't care what you do with it. We hope you share it with friends or new people that you meet. They don't have to be your friends. I guess we use the term friends pretty loosely.
Yeah,
okay, in a Facebook sort of way.
We've got some good programs on China, though. I mean,
we've got a bunch of programs on China.
You want to learn about what goes on over there, go into our archives.
Exactly.
Download some shows.
So today our, let's see, today we called it Coronavirus and China's Censorship. That's kind of our focus. And next week we have our other friend, Dr. Chen, Dr. Shizong Chen. I never say his first name because I know I do it wrong, but there you go. That's the one time I'll do it. The other Dr. Chen, Dr. Chen number two, he's going to come on and talk to us about other aspects of coronavirus. So this will be a two-parter. Dr. Wen Chen that we have this week was born in China at the end of the Great Cultural Revolution, being victims of the horrific atrocity that killed 2 million intellectuals and destroyed traditional Chinese culture. But nothing bad happens in communist countries, according to Bernie. So you would just put a little plug in there.
It's not communism. It's socialism.
It's democratic socialism. Yeah, we'll just do it better. Yeah, the Chinese did it wrong. Mm-hmm. Wen's parents had mixed feelings about her education, despite their discouragement, she eventually won a national prize in the science competition when she was 16. She was accepted into a top university for undergraduate study, and in 1994, she came to the U.S. for graduate school and received a doctorate in biology at the California Institute of Technology in 2000. So because of her personal experience in being brainwashed in China, she decided to be a voice for the voiceless. Since 2012, she's given over 200 presentations to community organizations about Chinese culture, history, and human rights. And her contact information is actually on our site at wethepeopleradio.us for February 3rd, 2020, or under the China tab, either one. And so she does a tremendous amount of speaking. She had shot me a couple topics. I put those on. She shot me, let's see, the origin of the virus from a bioscience perspective, something Bill and I obviously were going to talk about ourselves, but we decided to have her do it instead.
I fail biology.
You were probably good at biology. I was, however, not. And how the human rights oppression in Wuhan contributed to a swift outbreak. See, a lot of this you really have to look at from what actually happens in China, and the difficulty with Americans and also other people around the world who don't live in a communist country, they don't realize how much of this is shaped by the culture. And the culture is super important to take into account because, obviously, when you're talking about something that's a global infection, you might want to know who's giving you the facts and figures. So June gave us a hot tip last hour that whatever numbers the Chinese government puts out, multiply it by 10. So...
Well, at least.
That should curl your hair. I was going to say I'm surprised it's only 10, but okay. And you were telling us something, June, before we go to Dr. Chen. You were telling us something at the end of the hour, and unfortunately we were interrupted by news.
Right. There was a flash of the room.
We need you to go closer to the microphone, though, because you sound tiny. And you're pretty little, but you're not as tiny as you sound.
I know. Yeah, right. Oh, I'll try.
That's much better.
There was a story just a few days ago. A site in a leading classified site in China actually flushed a real number of the confirmed cases and the number was about 746,000. And that information was quickly removed and followed by a public apology.
746,000 people infected?
Infected, yes.
Wow, okay.
In China, yeah.
And they decided that wasn't a good number, so then the Chinese government took that off.
Right. And it happened a few times already in the past. And it happened at the beginning of the month when Tencent, which is a tech giant best known for the super popular messaging app called WeChat. Almost every Chinese uses WeChat. And had a screenshot of the epidemic situation tracker, and that displays the number, which is almost 80 times higher than the official number.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's not the first time the incident happens. And then I remember to multiply it by 10, because right now, if you ask those leading experts who can only do so much given the number that they have in China, their estimate is about 70,000 cases worldwide. Now, we know that about 90 or 95% of those are still in China. And then the original number, as I said, that flashed just 4 seconds before the public apology, that's 746,000. So if you multiply that 78,000 by 10, the number is somewhere close to that number, the real number.
There is a method to the madness. Well, that makes sense. they can lie all they want, but, you know, it's like anything else. Lying only works as long as people believe you. And I think people stopped believing the Chinese government a long time ago. So, Dr. Chen, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Are we going to learn some science? Uh-oh.
Yes.
Oh, there she is.
So you were, one of your topics was the science behind this coronavirus. The talk is that it's not a natural virus, that it's looking more and more like a man-made virus. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, because I got my education. I mean, my whole background is on biology. And, you know, I make a living by studying literature about the genome, about sequence, mm-hmm. about function. So after the coronavirus news out, I became interested in this because I realized that actually Wuhan has a very famous lab in Wuhan Institute of Virology, and they have a biosafety level 4 lab that study very contagious viruses like SARS. And I was very curious about this because there are very few such labs in the world, and this is like one of the most famous ones in China. And one of the lead scientists, Shi Zhenli, actually, she published a big article in 2015 on Nature, like a number one journal in science, about making a new virus, a new bad virus, and that's more contagious than ever. Like, it's a very, very powerful virus. And that, you know, not only because viruses actually, they used to just, if it's a bad virus, usually doesn't infect other animals. But this lab in Wuhan actually created a new virus, make it infectious to mice. And they're trying to test on monkey later. And that really alerted me. I just said, okay, this lab is doing something very, very dangerous. I mean, they did it in 2015, and then I looked up and realized, like, just 2 years ago, that scientist, Shi Zhenli, actually, she gave a talk in Shanghai about the progress of her project. So it looked like they never stopped this kind of experiment of making new viruses more powerful. And this coronavirus, actually, in science feature, it's called a perfect virus. Basically, it's super, super powerful because it's more contagious than ever. Like, for example, you may need to expose to 10,000 virus to get ill. But for coronavirus, this new coronavirus, you just need to touch it once. Like, in 2 seconds, you can be affected because this virus, its gene, it's very strange. Like its genome look like.
Is it airborne or is it transmitted?
Hold
by
that
touch?
Thought, and we'll talk about that next side of the break. We're going to see if we can help our guests. Yeah, you hold your thought, Bill. If you want some paper? You can hold it on paper with a pen.
No, I got it. I'm like a steel trap.
Okay. You all heard that. Now we have it forever. We need to help our guests increase their sound a little bit because I don't want people to miss any of that. They can hear us. Well, that doesn't help them. We're not biologists. So we'll be right back. We are, let's see, what are we doing here? We're going to do a little bit of Wheel in the Sky from Journey. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Okay, so
my thought
so
was
go, so going out was the okay. Air that I breathe. I'm trying to do the music. So I got the music. I've got the website up. I'm Skyping with Ashley, and so now that people can see this on video, I just want them to know Bill is just talking. That's all Bill is doing.
Wow.
He threw me under the bus.
All I get credit for. So that was the Holly.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway.
We'll start talking.
So, yeah. So my thought was on this. Getting back to the virus. Do they know how it is transmitted? Is it strictly touch or is it airborne? Do we know yet?
It looks like it can be transmitted in many different ways, through air, through touch. It's just like omnipresent. It's very, very easy to be infected. And scientists believe that the reason it is so easy for humans to be infected is because this virus, it looks very similar from the genome. It looks very similar to SARS, but there were four parts that were replaced into something very similar to HIV that makes it much easier to invade human cell. And you know, in nature, like if it's like a naturally if it was wired, that kind of chance is very little. I mean, it's very unlikely to happen. So. From the science perspective, it is true. It's a very high probability that is genetically engineered. And given the fact that the lab in Wuhan has been doing something like this for years, so I feel that it's reasonable to have this kind of suspicion, like, okay, this could be something leaked from that lab. And I myself, I studied in China as an undergraduate student, and I was a biology student. And I still remember, it was very common for the lab animals, in China, after dissection, after experiment. You know, technically speaking, you shouldn't keep this animal. They should be, you know, treated as biology waste, like they should be cremated instead of, sold to farmers and they eat them, but it was very common in China, like the labs sold them or they cooked the animals, ate them. And in China, just a couple of years ago, someone actually was one of the professors in China, like biology, he was sentenced to death for selling the lab animals, because we use rabbits and we use pig and cow to do experiments. They can make profit by selling these animals afterwards.
Right, right. How do you think it got out of the lab? Any ideas?
Well, I saw something online, someone from the Wuhan Virology Institute claimed that the institute director has been selling animals, lab animals, But of course, like, you know, you cannot confirm this kind of thing because she never came out to publicly, you know, clear that. And the Chinese government would never admit
right.
if it's the case. And at the same time, like, nobody, like, any of her colleagues, like, even American scientists, don't want to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if such a case is confirmed to be true, all the virus studies will have a difficulty receiving future funding. Like, for example,
oh,
if
yeah.
an American lab do a similar experiment, right? You know, the U.S. government will stop giving funding to this kind of lab because,
sure.
okay, just look at what happened to China. Like, so, you know, we have to be very careful to allocate money for you to do this kind of research. So what do you see is like something very interesting. Like you see many, many public health professionals like claim, okay, we believe that Wuhan lab was not involved in this. It's naturally virus. It's not genetically engineered. But how do they know?
Sure.
Because they were not working in the lab. Like, you know, you can say, okay, we are friends, so we support you. But that doesn't mean the mistakes did not happen.
Sure. Well, and you know, one of the early stories was that it came from the marketplace, which would make sense a little bit, I guess, if they were selling those animals
yep.
and they were being purchased in that marketplace, it could have started there. Another thing I heard was it's very rare that these viruses can jump from animals to humans. Is that correct?
That's true. That's true. Actually, coronavirus, all kinds of coronavirus exist in animals, like
mm-hmm.
livestock and chicken, but they rarely go to humans. And so, like, it's very hard to believe that, you know, these are, you know, it's a wild virus. Like, so, you know, for virus to jump from animal to human, usually they have to go through several steps. They have to infect other animals first and then mutate and then naturally, you know, mutate again to jump to human. But that kind of chance is very small. You know, actually SARS is very likely to be another leak in 2003. Because, you know, China is not the only country consuming wild animal. In Southeast Asia, like, there are many more countries that ate wild animal. They ate bats for years, for thousands, hundreds of thousands of years.
Sure.
You don't see such kind of virus coming out from Indonesia. Actually, as a matter of fact, Indonesians are still eating bat soups now.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's a great point.
They've been doing this for hundreds of years, and why SARS came from China in 2003, and then Wuhan coronavirus came from China again.
Right.
And actually, China is not actually a huge country consuming wild animals, because most of Chinese, they live on pork and chicken. And, you know, they wild animals, they were very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Only rich people can afford them, usually. And at the same time, Wuhan, you know, when the coronavirus, you know, it was like in the wintertime, there was no bat. And that seafood market never sold bat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very strange. Like, and actually, according to the very first scientific publication, among the 41 cases that first reported coronavirus, about 14 of them had never been to that seafood market. So about one third of the patients had never been to that seafood market.
Oh, that's
so
interesting.
So it's very
uh-huh.
likely someone got infected and then went to the seafood market and then
right.
spread it in the seafood
right.
market.
Right. Yeah, because it wasn't seafood that they said it came from. It came from I can't remember the name of the animal now, but they had a
bat.
No, it wasn't a bat. It was a little furry animal, like a
wolverine.
Like a wolverine.
Oh, different.
No, it was a little mammal of some sort that was fairly rare. And again, if they're illegally selling those because they're rare and rich people can buy them, that again makes sense. That get a lab animal, make some money. But yeah, that doesn't really hold too much water coming from a seafood marketplace if that's not what they're working on at the lab. So
Bill, I think what you mean is civet.
Is what?
Civet, a student.
No, C-I-V-E-T.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. That was it. That was it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was it?
Civet.
It's
yeah.
See, like those were all guesses. Like, you know, we don't know, because what happened is that after the news came out that it could be has something to relate to that seafood market, the authority, the Chinese authority, immediately cleaned up that market, and that was something unbelievable to think, because when the virus came from that seafood market, you have to investigate
mm-hmm.
what was the cause. And that's very, very important for scientists to find out how it is transmitted, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the immediate thing the authority did is to clean up everything.
Right.
That was just unbelievable. Like, you know, it's totally against common sense. Like,
it's like cleaning up a crime scene and then calling the police.
Exactly. Like, they clean up everything. Now there's no way to figure out what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And as a biologist myself, I personally expect, like, once a virus escapes the lab, it could be from, you know, someone got infected or carried out by animal and ate, consumed by someone. But once
sure.
it leaves the lab, it can mutate by itself. And after half a year, it could look something different.
Right.
But, like, you know, we don't know how it escaped the lab, but I think there's a high chance that it escaped from a lab.
Right.
But there's no way for you to confirm from the Chinese government.
And if you're contagious without symptoms, I could see where it'd be very easy to for a worker or somebody to walk out of there infected, not even know it,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden you're spreading it all over.
Let's take a really quick break, and yeah, I have a lot of questions, but we'll push those over the break line, and we will go out with this will be a good song for this particular thing. How about The Who with We Won't Get Fooled Again? You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Huey Lewis there, walking on a thin line. Since Robert is putting the program on YouTube for us, and since it also is airing on the AUN network, we need to give more specific credit to the music that we use, which is why I'm trying to integrate that without making it weird.
Yeah.
That too could change. Maybe I'll make it Bill's job.
Because if you don't, they're going to make it weird for us.
That's true. We're already talking about China, who would like to make it weird for us. We can only piss off so many people all at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Let's start locking the studio door. Oh my gosh. Okay, so Dr. Chen, if this virus came out of a lab in Wuhan, I mean, I think I already know the answer. My guess is zero. What are the chances that we'll ever find out that actually happened?
I don't think we'll ever be able to find out.
Okay, so zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're never telling us.
The chance is pretty big, that there's a leak, but the Chinese government will never admit that. And as a matter of fact, they have been denied international specialists from entering Wuhan, not to mention to visit the virus lab. So I just feel like it's going to be a black hole. But I just feel like the international society must pay very much attention to this, because it's not going to be the first time, and it's not going to be the last time.
Oh, no. Obviously, this is definitely an ongoing problem. One of the things you wanted to talk about before we run out of time also is the human rights oppression in Wuhan, how it contributed to the outbreak and how swiftly it spread. Talk to us about that.
And if you could move a little bit closer to your microphone, you're pretty faint.
Okay.
So I don't have to interrupt
you. Yeah, that's much better.
It's good.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
So after the news came out, I was really curious. I thought, like, what is the mentality of these local officials of cleaning up the seafood market to cover up the source of the virus, and also to arrest the doctors, the whistleblowers? Like, you know, what is their mentality? Like, aren't they afraid of the disease? Like, aren't they afraid of that themselves be getting ill? But then later on, think about the history of the Communist Party. I suddenly realized that, okay, this is a totalitarian regime that never cared for human rights. They don't need to be responsible for the health, for the well-being of their people. Actually, Wuhan is notorious for human rights abuses, because we actually talk about the persecution towards Falun Gong, the meditation practice, mm-hmm. in our previous programs. Wuhan actually is ranked one of the top cities in the persecution of Falun Gong. It actually hosts annual conferences on how to force Falun Gong practitioners to renounce their belief, and it's also the annual conferences place for organ harvesting. And we talk about how the Chinese authority harvested organs from prisoners of conscience, especially from Falun Gong practitioners. So this is a government, the local government, has a long history of persecuting innocent people, taking organs from innocent people and selling them. So when a disease came, you know, they say, okay, no big deal, like, you know, just let people get ill and they die. They don't really think that as a disaster in the first place. And even if there is a disaster, and I think that was why they didn't pay attention to this at the very beginning. But then, like, even if there is a disaster, like, you know, like SARS, actually local government, they can always use the news media to cover up the reality. Like, you know, June already talked enough about this. Like, they can always make people believe that, see, China is doing a great job, we have the biggest quarantine in human history, putting 10 million people in quarantine. You know, they can always make people believe. Just look at a lot of news media, a lot of mainstream media nowadays say, oh, China is doing such a great job, they're building, like, new hospitals, like, you know, in 10 days. But, like, you know, all the disaster created by the Chinese government, they can always change the way to present it as a way to show off their ability. You know, how well they can be done, like.
Yeah. Well, this is obviously giving them a huge black eye. I mean, when you quarantine the whole city and more people are quarantined in their home than they have sick in the hospital, obviously there's a failure there on the part of the government to take care of their people.
Which is their greatest fear.
Right.
That we're going to find out. Not that they're going to have, you know, tens of thousands of people die, but that the rest of the world is going to
find out about it.
They can't handle it.
And one thing I want to mention, that a city can be so successful in human rights abuses because they have a long-term, very successful propaganda system. Like Wuhan, people in Wuhan, local residents in Wuhan, truly believed in the government propaganda. I mean, I have a friend in Shanghai, and he told me that when the news about the coronavirus came to public, like in late January, everyone in Shanghai, if you go to public transportation, everyone in Shanghai wore masks. But on the same date, nobody in Wuhan, the picture sent out from Wuhan, nobody in public in Wuhan wore masks. Because Wuhan's people, believed that they were fine, although they were the center of the outbreak.
Mm-hmm.
But in Shanghai, people already knew, oh, this virus, we should be careful. But people in Wuhan were totally ignorant about it because the government were telling them through the state media, say, oh, everything's fine, we don't need to worry about it, you know, it's no big deal. People believed that. And that has a long history of human rights abuses. Like, the government has been persecuting Falun Gong, persecuting Christians, persecuting innocent people for decades. And people already believe in propaganda. That's why they remain silent. That's why human rights abuses in Wuhan were so bad. And eventually, everyone got affected. So,
sure.
Like, nowadays, we just think about, like, you know, you can say, I don't care about human rights. I just care about my personal life. But eventually, everyone...
Human rights catches up with you.
And that really shows the power of propaganda and power of the state when you're fed a steady diet of government information. That's all that's out there. Naturally, you're going to believe it unless it directly impacts you negatively. You have no reason to not believe it.
But at that point, you're not going to be able to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, then you wind up having your organs harvested. And I do want you to know, Dr. Chen, you started us off on that topic a year and several months ago. And I just want you to know we've done several shows on that particular topic. So if this is a new idea for people that the Chinese are doing involuntary organ harvesting, and we're not talking part of your liver. We're looking at, you know, somebody's heart, things that make you die. They're just taking the organs. If you would like to know more about that, or you think that may be not happening, or you've heard a little and you want to know more, please go to the tab on our website marked China. We've done some really, really extensive shows on the organ harvesting. And so honestly, you know, a government that would do that, that would just snatch people off the street, your neighbor said that, I mean, can you imagine in this country, your neighbor said they said you were watching a Trump rally on TV. You know, whoosh, off you go.
Mm-hmm.
Trip to the countryside and you're missing an organ. It doesn't take much. And then you get an outbreak like this and, well, how easy is that to cover up? So tell me this. The people in Wuhan, I don't even know how to ask it. If they believe the propaganda, and then all of a sudden all these people start getting sick, and then the government's locking them in their house, and then there's no water and there's no food and all that. Does this ever become a wake-up call for them? Or, I mean, do they ever believe the government after that?
It is a wake-up call. Indeed. Like, you know, when everyone get into that step, like, there's no way to cover up, right? When everyone in your family gets ill.
Right.
The government insists, like, they were not ill because of the coronavirus, because the government can control. They can claim you are ill, you're not ill.
Right. They'll tell you when you're sick.
Yeah, we'll let you know when you're sick.
Yeah.
So is this something that has the potential? I mean, both of you ladies went through your own process to find out that the communist indoctrination you grew up with that you thought was all real. You didn't know it was an indoctrination. Then you realize, hey, wait a second, they've been lying to me my whole life. Is something like this virus, does it have any potential, maybe, to help those people come out of the fog, provided they live, and say, geez, you know, I think there's something funky going on with our government?
I would say it's absolutely, it's a wake-up call to many.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if there's any kind of silver lining, that might be it.
Yeah,
definitely this is awakening many Chinese people. But, you know, the Communist Party can always... cover it up with, they say, positive news, right? Like, they are not going to tell you on TV. Like, unless you see your neighbor, like, in your own family, like, if you are affected, you will realize that. But still, many people in China still brainwashed. Because on TV show, they're always seeing how the government are helping other people, how quickly the hospitals were built, you know. And in one of the TV interviews, like, you know, someone said, oh, the hospital is so comfortable that I don't want to leave. It's just unbelievable.
Sure. That's what Bill said when he was in the hospital, what, a month ago or a few weeks ago? So
yeah.
Comfortable, I don't want to leave.
Yeah, I don't want to leave. Bill sent me home.
And the food.
Jeez, yeah. When I go home, they put a dog in the bed. I don't want to go there.
Well... I one thing I want to mention is that, you know, now we talk about Americans, like, you know, anyone outside of China. I'm also surprised, like, so many people are still favored the Chinese government, because many mainstream media articles are praising the Chinese government for doing a great job. I just feel like that's unbelievable. I mean, they have something wrong with their logic. Okay, this government covered up the contagious fact of virus, and they arrested the whistleblowers, like, they caused a disaster for the whole world. Tens of thousands of people are dying, and many more people will die. And then, like, all these mainstream media articles, they're praising the Chinese government for doing a good job. I just think about it. The Communist Party, they killed so many people. And all these Americans, like, we're talking about Americans, like us, like you and me, just think they're doing a great job. Like, they never make any mistake. Or if they make any mistake, you can always turn it into a positive news. Like, say, oh, they're doing a great job correcting the mistake. That is just like...
What about when they made the mistake?
Well, for people that are still only focusing on mainstream news, I mean, I'm going to put in another plug, and we've got links to it on our website if you're driving or whatever. But the Epoch Times does an excellent job. And even long-term mainstream media, readers and listeners and viewers, once they tune in to news that is more balanced and more factual, that really catches hold, and they start looking at what they've been listening to. So if you have relatives or friends, or if it's you, and you think the mainstream media is still telling you the truth, I always go back to the Epoch Times, folks, and it's T-H-E, the Epoch, E-P-O-C-H, times.com. You go online, it's like $1 for the first month, and I think then you'll realize how much our American media is spinning as well. We're going to have Leonard Skinner's going to take us into the break with Things Going On. You're listening to We the People. Too much money they spin upon the moon. Well, until they make it right, I hope they never sleep at night. They better make some changes and do it soon.
Say, I can't do everything, but I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I'll find.
Upside Down from Jack Johnson. I think that's about the size of it. I mean, you guys have to come forward, talk to the public, and let them know how really messed up their perspective is on what the Chinese government is doing. And I think if people don't realize, it was interesting. I spoke with someone who will remain nameless, my sister, who thought that the Falun Gong were a cult. I mentioned something about the organ harvesting, and she goes, well, those people, yeah, they're just a cult. And I thought, oh, how interesting.
Well, that's the effect of the media.
How interesting is that?
Yeah. Yeah, I find what you said earlier interesting about our what we call fake media and what they report about China. Here you have firsthand knowledge of what really goes on in China. And our media is exactly the opposite. What do you tell people when our media reports like that, and you know it's just the opposite? How do you combat that?
Well, I would just say, okay, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, one of the topics I gave in public is about the Chinese government's infiltration to the United States, because the Chinese government has been influencing the whole education system in the U.S. for decades. They've been inviting professors to China, giving them red carpet treatment, and then they have good impression. They would come back, write books, and give lectures to say how great the Communist Party is, how wonderful life is in China and North Soviet Union. And these are the professors educating the future journalists. like, you know, the reporters, when they get education in colleges, they already have this mentality, say, okay, the Communist Party is the future, they're doing great. And of course, when they report the news about China, because they are already brainwashed in their education. And like, they would write it a form of pro-Communist Party perspective. It's very unfortunate. That's why, like, I step out. I gave many speeches about China because I lived that brainwash. And I'm sure, like, there are many other people like me try to speak to public because we lived that real life of China. And we were brainwashed and we knew that there were no free doctors, like many of these, reporters, Western reporters mentioned, like they have free education system, free health system. That's not the case. We know all these lies. And I also feel like it's very important for us to tell Chinese people, because many Chinese students came to the U.S. They came as very, very brainwashed students. And I remember when I first came to the U.S., I saw the Tiananmen massacre never happened. I saw that was something made up by Hollywood. And I tried to convince my American colleagues that the Tiananmen massacre never happened. And of course, like, they laughed at me.
And people looked at you like you were crazy, I bet.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But, like, you know, nowadays, but that's what they say about Tiananmen massacre, right? We all know what Tiananmen massacre is because worldwide news media, like, covered that. We knew that. But what about Falun Gong? When a Chinese student came to the U.S., they say, oh, this practice is bad, and that's what my government told me. Do you want to believe them? Right? Or you try to tell them, like, no, that's not the case. Just look at Falun Gong in the U.S. You can find them in many parks, many universities. You know, they're not like what you think. And you should really open your eyes and look at the reality. And unfortunately, many Americans, they chose to believe in those Chinese students or Chinese co-workers, and basically, indirectly, they accepted the propaganda by the Chinese government. I mean, nowadays, we're talking about all kinds of policies. How can we stop the Chinese government from infiltrating the United States? And I'm pretty sure many of these procedures are great, but we already have this business tie. We already have, like, a lot of dependencies, like, you know, the U.S. companies depend on China, and we just can't really disconnect the tie immediately. And I just feel like waking up Chinese people is the most important for the future of China and for the future of the U.S. Just for example, when any Chinese people come to Los Angeles International Airport, right, LAX, they should see big banners in LAX about how the Communist Party killed Chinese people in the past 70 years, about the reality, like about the truth they never saw in China. And then after they came to the U.S., they would be awakened. They would know what's going on. And that will bring a huge change to China, and they will abandon communism, and then China will have freedom, and the problem will be solved. I just feel like the free flow of information is the only solution. Get rid of the great firewall internet, and the U.S. government definitely has the ability to do that. We have the best scientists. We have the best computer engineers to break the great firewall internet. And we need to awake Chinese people to get rid of the Communist Party.
Yeah, it's
otherwise, this will just go on and on and on.
Sure.
Forever.
Well, we need to awaken the American people.
Yeah, the American
not to wander into the trap of, let's just do communism only better.
Well, also, they overlook the threat. Heck, the other day I was flipping through the channels, and I think it was Good Morning America or something, and they were doing a little expose on the program TikTok, which they've proven is a Chinese government basically gleans all the information off that site about you, your kids, a lot of information. I mean, it goes direct to the CCP. And they prefaced that program in the very beginning. They said, despite the stories of TikTok being government sponsored, we're going to throw caution to the wind, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to make our own videos on TikTok just to show people how great it is. It's like, that is so ridiculous that they do stuff like that. It just tells everybody else that, hey, it's okay. Just give all your information to the Chinese through this silly program. They just don't, I guess they just don't take it seriously enough.
Well, there are two reasons. Some of these people, they are super, super naive. They are brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
And you should awake them. And there's a second category of people. They have their personal interest. They
right.
may have business tie with China. They may have been to China for dozens of times, red carpet treatment. I have seen mayors, like, you know, business chambers, like they were invited to China, like for free, to tour China, and then they came back, and they always say good words about China.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm sorry, like there are people who are bright. There are people who, you know, they have personal interest in that. We just need to do our best to awake.
Yeah, and you know, when you hear things like that, do some homework. Don't be such a sheep in the crowd where you just go along and do what everybody else does. Do a little homework. Find out if this information is true or not, and don't take everything for granted, especially when it comes to the Chinese government, because they are, I don't know, I think they're evil.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with that. And when people go to China, I think the thing that they really don't consider, because it isn't something that happens in many places, they never meet an authentic Chinese person
no.
who's just wandering on the street. I mean, everyone is put there by the government.
Exactly.
And when you look at our government and you think, can you imagine our government being organized enough to do that? No.
No.
But the Chinese are that organized.
Yeah, just for example, like, you know, a professor, right, go to China to give a lecture, right, for whatever, like chemistry, biology. Every student in your classroom was chosen ahead of time. Every question
yep.
was prepared ahead of time.
See, I don't think
I'm
people can
surprised.
Really comprehend that. Dr. Chen and June, thank you so much for coming on with us today. I'm sure we will chat with you again, and please keep us updated on what you have great information, and we'll load it on the website. It's at wethepeopleradio.us.
Thanks a bunch.
See you next week.
Thank you.
Another promise, another seed, another package.